This was not a coordinated thing today. Oh, man. When I saw, I'm like, oh, no. She said to me, copycat. Oh, no. But anyway, it's all good. It's good to see everyone. We had a wonderful time in Fremantle. How's everyone going?
Good.
Good, yeah, wonderful. Boom, all right. So anyway, over the last few weeks, you've just welcomed to everyone again and to all our people that are visiting us. We really welcome you here. Please stay afterwards. Raquel, it's good to see you. Stay afterwards, and then we can just have a coffee and get to know one another. Mr. Jeff, how are you going? Good, good to see you as well. Yes. Donovan, tonight is the night, eh? Manchester United, Manchester City tonight. I'm going to be calling you. Each time we score, I'll be calling you to laugh. And so, look, I think that I just want to update us. Last week, we did our story, our future, and we explained last week about what we were looking to do, which was really about creating a channel through there where the ladies can go directly to the toilet rather than have to go through Kids Zone. And so the plans are being drawn up now. And also we're going to put where there's the screen gate, there's now going to be a solid glass door so that it's just, so the guys going to the toilet, they don't have to, it's just, you just go straight through. It's just better safety and so on and so forth. So that's what we're doing. So we spoke about that last week, and you know, I just want to say, you know, I think we had pledges from both Fremantle and Kwinana totaling nearly $58,000. That was last week, and so that gives us the opportunity to do stuff in our building and just to replenish the things we're going to be doing at the back for the, because the Youth Connect is happening as we speak now. They're doing the Youth Alpha with Miss Kaylee, and soon it'll be, I'll introduce somebody else who's going to be another leader in that space as well, so which will be really good. And so I'm so thankful for, is this echoing or is it just me? Okay, I need to get my ears checked. Yeah, thanks. Sorry, it's just my ears. It's like we're in an aeroplane. All right. And so I look, thank you for your generosity and being people of faith, for being kingdom-minded and wanting to see God's kingdom expand. And we're believing that, you know, through our young people, you know, these are the ones that we're going to raise that are going to be our leaders. They're going to be future youth leaders and leaders in our church. And so they're really important to us. So we started about 3 weeks ago, this theme of the year, which was emerge. And to emerge is to become known or develop as a result of something. We spoke about how it's to emerge is to move out of or away from something and become more visible. And this is what we want to do. We believe that for us this year is that as individuals, we will no longer hide, but we will become more visible. Sorry? Okay. I'm looking here at the administrator looking at me. Yeah. No. No. Oh, goodness. And so in the context of us growing into the person of purpose that God has for their life, when we say emerge, we're referring to the action of coming into view or becoming apparent. And so it signifies the initial stages of growth and development towards fulfilling one's purpose. And so the last message we spoke on emerge, we learned through the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 some important lessons. Number one, we learned to deal with your doubt. If you're doubtful, because sometimes we are in our comfort zone, but we want to step out of our comfort zone. And so what we have to do is to deal with our doubt. And sometimes even though we are afraid, we have to do it afraid. And then lastly, when you're on your journey of life, the key thing is don't do it by yourself. Do it with other people that can spur you on, because this is why the scripture says that it's not good for any person that's by themselves. It's not good. That's why they want you to be two of you, because if one is cold, the other will keep you warm. If you fall in a ditch, the other one will get you out. And so it's good to be always in the company of other people that are going to encourage you when you feel or when your faith wanes. Who knows that sometimes our faith is not always up? And so the times when it's not up, we need somebody that's going to lift us up. And that's why it's important that we don't travel by ourselves. And so I just want to do a quick recap of Judges 6. In fact, during the week, when we talk about emerging and stepping out in faith, during the week I was talking to someone, and they were sitting across from me, and they said, and I said to them, I just felt the Lord say to me, oh, ask them if they've ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues. And I'm like, oh, no. You know? And so I mustered up the courage, and I just said, have you ever done this? And he says, oh, their exact words were, I tried to do it by myself, and, it didn't work or whatever. And so I then said, oh, no, we'll pray for that. But I was too chicken to actually say at the end. I just said, look, you keep praying in your own time. It'll happen. What I should have done was seize the moment and just say, let's pray right now. Because, you know, the reality is that I was too scared of, like, oh, what if it doesn't work? You know, I look a bit weird if it doesn't work. Plus, you know, I think speaking in tongues can be a bit strange, because how does it happen? And so I began to explain to him, because, you know, back in the old days, and we're talking about 20 years ago, if you didn't speak in tongues, you were looked down upon. And I recall somebody saying, oh, do you speak in tongues at the church I attended? And I said, no. And they said, well, my 14-year-old grandson does. And I, oh, man, there must be something wrong with me. But we know that eventually it happened. You know, I was able, you know. And so there's no shame, even if you don't speak in, tongues, there's no shame attached to it. But it's just that thing sometimes when we feel the Lord whisper something to us, sometimes the fear can get the better of us. And we just have to push through that. And I think at times it's always important to acknowledge, oh man, I could have done, I should have done what perhaps the Lord was moving me to do. And so we learn from Judges chapter 6, and I'm going to paraphrase. It says, 6:11-16, it says, Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. I underline the word hide here. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. So Gideon goes on to reply, but if the Lord was with us, so on and so forth. And then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Gideon goes on to complain that, but why would you send me? There's something wrong with me. And like what we spoke about 3 weeks ago, my mother dropped me. There's something wrong with me. It's not fair if it's me. And the Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you're fighting against one man. I don't know, whatever it is that you face in your life, whatever you face in your family, one of the things that sometimes you find that there's certain things that are not working in your family, there are certain struggles that your family goes through, and it seems to be unique to your family. One of the things I would always say is that always look at if there's, you know, cycles that occur in your family, because the cycles are a sign of something. And those are the things that sometimes we have to be delivered from. If there are constant cycles happening in your family, you know, nobody gets married, so on and so forth, no one is able to buy a house. You know, like, there are things that we need to break, because there could be some stronghold, there could be some bondage issues there that need to be broken. So Gideon goes on to say, that night the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's herd, that is the one that is 7 years old, pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar and use the fuel of that pole you cut down. It goes on to say, so Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. But he did it at night because he was afraid. We spoke that courage comes when we start to take action and not before. The key thing that we have to understand from Judges chapter 6 here is that there could be some things that are creating a hindrance between you and the Lord. There's things that we've involved ourselves in. There's things that we're doing that are creating, there's a rift between us and the Lord. From this story here, when he says, tear down, perhaps God is saying to each and every one of us that there's certain things I want you to stop doing that you are doing. But he just doesn't stop there. He says, stop doing this and then start doing that. So tear down that altar. Tear down those things you're doing. Tear down perhaps the conversations, the gossip. There's certain things that maybe hold us back and create a barrier between our relationship with the Lord. And he's saying, let's fix that. And then the way we fix it is by realigning our hearts to God. Coming to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Search me and see if there's any crazy things in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Because that's what he's saying. Get right with me first before you do anything. So courage comes when we start to take action and not before. And I don't know what you're facing in your life at this moment. Gideon was facing the Midianites. I don't know what situation that you're facing in your family, in your personal life, in your health. But we need courage, because sometimes fear will hold us back. You know, as we learn from the caterpillar that's turned into a butterfly, like that one, you know, there's a process that that caterpillar goes through up until it turns into a butterfly. And so as we look to emerge and become all that God has purposed for us, we go through a process. We don't just arrive. It's not just from fear and the next thing is courage. We don't just go fearful, hey presto, and then courage has arrived. Or we say abracadabra, and then all of a sudden, whatever we were facing, whatever issue we had, it's solved. Because we never arrive, we continuously grow. I've titled, this is the last installment of this for the theme for the year. I've titled this message, Emerging. This suggests an ongoing process or state of coming into being or becoming apparent. It signifies that the individual is in the midst of growth and development toward their purpose, showing signs of progress. Because we never arrive. We continuously grow. In this process, there are four keys in emerging. I would like to draw from the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 7 that will help direct us on this journey to emerge. And so as we move from chapter 6, to Judges 7, we notice that there's a transition from private training, tear down your father's altar, build an altar, private testing, because that would have been a test. Ooh, this is hard. But he did it. And small steps of faith. He did it even though he was afraid. And we arrive at the beginning of Judges chapter 7 at what I call the moment of truth. In Judges 7 verse 1 to 17, it says, so Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Harod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors. Understand this is that when they started, there was 32,000 warriors. Then the Lord said, too many guys, get rid of some. Because if I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. And some of those guys would have been, oh, thank goodness. Because you know what? I really didn't want to fight anyway. So thank you for the opportunity to go what? To go back home. So 22,000 guys walked back home. You know, plus they were feeling good because they said, look, if you're afraid, go home. So they did that. So now leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. So now Gideon's confidence is probably starting to what? It's starting to fall because he was happy when there was 32,000 guys. Now all of a sudden, we've trimmed it down by 22,000. Oh, Lord, are you for real? God still says, even with 10,000, there's too many. And so eventually he says he's going to test them. Some will drink. Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. So they probably just scooped the water and were drinking it, whilst obviously being alert. That's what it seems to me. Whereas the others knelt down, no idea. You know. And so got rid, 9,700 people had to go home. The Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you. Now, the operative word here is I will rescue you and give you victory. So I and give. There are things that you're facing in your life that God wants you to know that you will not take any credit for this because you will know that it is the hand of the Lord that has brought it about. And what it will do, because what it allows us to do is for us to recognize that it is only by the Lord that we can gain victory in our lives. It is not our own cleverness. It is by God's own doing. I will rescue you and give you victory. And then over the Midianites, and then he says, send the other ones home. He goes on to say that, so Gideon collected the provisions and rams from the other warriors and sent them home. He kept the 300 men with him. And so the Midianite camp was in the valley just below Gideon. That night the Lord said, get up, go down into the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. And this is what we need to understand how good God is. And he says, but if you are afraid to attack, which means to attack now, if you're afraid to attack now, just go back into your room, pray a little bit, and then maybe things will, and then you'll have the courage to come back out. Now, he obviously didn't say that. He says, if you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Pura. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you'll be greatly encouraged. Then you'll be eager to attack. So Gideon took Pura and went down to the edge of the enemy camp. The armies of Midian and Amalek and the people of the east had settled in the valley like a swarm of locusts. Their camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. These people who wrote this Bible were really good at making it like, oh my goodness, there was a lot of people. The camels were like grains of sand on the seashore, a lot. And so imagine, so Gideon crept up just as the man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. So the moment of truth is here. They get down to the camp. In fact, the camp was below them when God sent all those 9,700 guys home. And so now the moment of truth is here. Private training. I've been trained privately. I've been tested privately. I've taken small steps of faith. But this now shifts to public testing. Big steps of faith. You see, it's one thing to think in your mind about something. It's a completely different. Now you start to take action for the thing that you want in your life, the things that you're believing God for. All of a sudden, it becomes a bit serious. He's face to face with his fears. He's getting outside of the comfort zone. And normally when we get outside of the comfort zone, we face the terror barrier. And all of a sudden our mind begins to start playing tricks on us. Oh, should I really do it? Because if I do it, what happens if I fail? You know what? I'd rather just not do it and not experience the disappointment. And so we retreat back into our shells rather than pushing forward. You see, Gideon, the reason why he was in the wine press in Judges 6 is because whenever they would have a harvest, the Midianites would come through and wipe everything out. It's just like, you know, you understand harvest, you get paid $1,000. And then the scammers, as soon as your money goes into the account, the scammers arrive and your money is gone. That's what the Midianites were like. And so they were fearful. And so maybe Gideon said, let me put some cash away rather than it go electronically. But my point is this, that you have to understand this is how the Midianites were so devastating to the Israelites. And now you are in front of these Midianites. You now see them. They're coming to attack you. We would excuse Gideon from being a bit fearful. Be like, you know what, I can understand why. These people are ferocious in their desire to kill you. And fear, when it gets a grip of us, can so paralyze us that we will not be able to take a step. I understand if there's a lion or you see a snake. If you see a snake, you become paralyzed with fear. You stop. But this is, you know, so if somebody says, oh, you know, the lion came into my room and I was just chilling. No, you're going to be fearful. Or the snake, I was talking to a friend on Wednesday night and they explained how they had just gone to the bathroom. On their way back to the bed, they just felt something crawling over them. And they jumped onto the bed. Whoop, big box jump. And there was a carpet python. Yeah. And so the husband got up, grabbed his boots. In fact, they hit it with a Bible. And so it knocked the snake back until he went outside and got a shovel. Yeah, and then he completely destroyed it. So you're excused for being fearful, confronted with stuff. But sometimes the fear, God wants us to move past that so that we can begin to do what? To move in the blessings that the Lord has for us. But if we are fearful, then we cannot move in the blessings that God has for us. So now we are in the game. Gideon is where God really wants him to be. Not privately, publicly. This is all that training was for now. A key issue we can get from this is that you cannot conquer that which you are not willing to confront. Because this is no longer practice. The pace of the real game is different to practice. It's faster. It's more intense. Because in practice, you're really not trying to hurt each other because you're teammates. But when you're in the game, this is for the marbles. So you're really going at it. It's no longer high school. This is university. It goes up a notch. No longer in primary school. This is high school stuff. When we went to high school for the first time in Zimbabwe, this is 1990, I went to Prince Edward High School. They said to us at the first assembly on the first day, and remember, these guys are now 17, 18 years old, and they're big. Big, and they've got beards, you know. And so we're just these small little things, you know, from primary school. I mean, they were so cool, these guys, but they were scary. And they said, you were big fish in a small pond last year. Now you are small fish in a big pond. And it was just, oh, man, these guys were ferocious. But that's what happens. Now it's for real. This is for real. So private battles become private victories, which then lead to public battles, which lead to public victories. What we learn from these times of private training, private testing, small steps of faith, was that Gideon was continually checking with the Lord. Though he was scared and fearful, he was constantly referring back to God and saying, oh, God, if you've really sent me, I'll give you a test. I'll put a fleece out, let the dew be on the fleece and the ground be dry. Then the next day he says, I apologize. Can the the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. So he was, so whilst we see that as a negative, what he was doing was that he was getting the cadence, he was getting an understanding for the promptings of God for his life. He was understanding the voice of God for himself. And he was developing a sensitivity to the voice and promptings of God. We have the word of God to guide us, but we also need to have an openness to the Holy Spirit. Robert Henderson spoke a story, he's a preacher from America. I was listening to a message, and he spoke the story of a lady many years ago, probably 70 years ago. She had a son who was in the U.S. What are those guys who fly? Air Force, yeah. U.S. Air Force, attacking some people, and his plane got shot. She didn't know this. The son's plane got shot down. And so he's in the jungle. And she had just gone to the bathroom. And so on her way back to bed, she just fell down and started, whether she was praying in tongues, and started screaming, down, down, down. At that time, obviously, the enemy was coming to look for that plane that had been shot down. And she says the son felt a hand push him to the ground to hide from the enemy. And so the son then thought, oh, okay, waited a bit, coast is clear, let me do what? Let me run. Otherwise, he was going to be kept as a prisoner of war. The lady back starts saying it again, groaning, and she says, down. And he feels a hand push him to the ground. Later on, the lady started saying, run, run. And those are the exact same words this guy heard, run. And he was able to run and evade capture as a prisoner of war. The next key we need is to understand that God will. Remember, he said, I will give. He says, I, and then give. We have to understand that in Judges 7, verse 2, in the New Living Translation, it said, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. In the Passion Translation, it says, Yahweh spoke to Gideon, you have too many in your army. If I give them victory over the Midianites, they might claim credit for themselves at my expense, thinking that they had won the victory on their own. The Amplified says, then the Lord said to Gideon, there are too many people with you for me to hand over Midian to them. Otherwise, Israel will boast about themselves against me, saying, my own power has rescued me. We have to understand that if we're doing anything, if we're going to step out, that the battle is the Lord's. We need to, now in saying that, we need to take the steps that we have to take. And we wait for instruction and direction, and we trust in the Lord. So, through our experience with God, there are times that he requires quick obedience because you have to get the timing right. How many of you would say to your kids, so-and-so, can you please clean the kitchen? And then 2 hours later, the kitchen hasn't been cleaned. And you scream again, have you not cleaned the kitchen? Can you clean the kitchen? Sometimes we don't get quick obedience from our kids. It takes an hour, I'll get to it. But eventually they get to it. But at times we want now, do it now. God requires quick obedience because you have to get the timing right. This is why it's very important to stay close to the fire of God through the practice of prayer, fasting, continual sacrifice to the Lord as you know, pray before him, so you develop an ear to hear him speak. So that when he speaks, you act quickly. Swift obedience and seizing the moment. In Judges 9, it says, get up, the Lord, that night the Lord said, get up, go down into the camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you're afraid, go down to the camp with your servant. And so Gideon then goes. And just as he arrived, this is the key thing. It says, Gideon crept up. So they were probably, you know, bear crawling. Just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream. And in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the camp. It hit a tent, turned it over, and knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. Get up, go down to the camp, arrives just as the guy was telling him the dream. Just as the guy was telling him the dream. Had he got that timing wrong, there's no telling what could have happened. Ain't no telling. Last Saturday night, I went to bed, woke up. I woke up, had a bad dream. And I woke up, and I just said to Nama, I said, look, we have to go and pray. This is past midnight. We have to go and pray. Boom. So, you know when you're the one that's saying we have to pray, you sound very, you know, like, oh, yeah, I'm really good, you know. And the one that has to be dragged, you know, is a bit more like, oh, do I, you know. But anyway, she came, and so we went into the living room. It's not one of those prayers that you think, I'll pray this in the bed, and then we can go back to sleep. No. We have to go. And we did it, and I, for some reason, because of the dream that I had, I'm praying, and I'm recording this. And we went for nearly 38 minutes. And I don't say this so that, you know, he prayed for 38 minutes. It's not to impress, but it's to impress upon you this. Now we're starting to creep into the 1 o'clock times. And I stopped recording after 38 minutes. And then I remember getting up, and I'm, you know, walking around the sitting room. I'm speaking in tongues, da-da-da-da, so on and so forth. And then eventually get to bed later on. That morning, I'm on my way to church, and I saw my sister sends me a message at 5:26. That's when the message arrived, because it said 5:26. And she said, the CV joint of my car came off. And luckily, I'm all right. And so, boom, I called her. This was now past 7 o'clock on my way to Fremantle. But she didn't pick up the phone, because that time, South Africa would have been at least 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'm checking all CV jointers. Oh, okay, that's what it is, the stuff on the wheel. And so that had come off. And so now you lose the ability to steer properly. So then she goes on to say to me that later on, she said that they were driving on the highway, and she had just got off the exit. You know, if you've been to South Africa on those highways, they're not playing. They are moving. 120, 130, 150, they're going. Those cars move. And so luckily she was exit. She said off-ramp. That's what they call it, off-ramp, but we call it exit. And so CV joint. So luckily she was able to what? To be safe. Nothing happened to her. So then I said, what was that time? Because now I had forgotten what time we had got up. Can you tell me what time it happened? And she said, 7 o'clock. That's nearly 1 o'clock our time here in Australia. Now, I'm not going to necessarily try and join the dots here and say, oh, if it wasn't for me getting up and praying, but you never know. That's the point I'm trying to make with the promptings of the Lord and getting his timing right. Had Gideon not got up and gone at the time, he would have missed the guy explaining the dream and him getting the interpretation and getting the courage. So what we have to do as we finish, I'll just get can anyone play the keys? No? Okay, guitar. Thank you. Andrew, you can play the keys?
No, not yet.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So you have to move in step with God. Richard? Even that one there. I want that one as well. Thank you. We have to be quick to listen and to act. Whatever it is that you're facing and that you feel the whisper of the Lord, don't delay. Get that timing right. God knew exactly what it would take for Gideon to be convinced that God was able to save Israel through him. This moment marks something of a change in the once hesitant man. And so up until we'll stand this morning as we finish, up until you experience God for yourself, anything you have heard or read are just stories. But when you combine personal experience and the Word of God, your belief becomes very potent. There is a potency of God's strategy that I want us to understand. After he hears this, he goes back to the camp and he says, "Keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. Blow your horns all around the camp and then shout for the Lord and for Gideon." And when they got to the camp, that's what they actually did. It says, when the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. And those who were not killed, they ran away. Deliverance, please understand this, will not come the way that you expect, because God follows a different strategy. Follow the Lord's guidance, even if it sounds crazy and irrational. You have to follow the Lord's guidance, just as Gideon gave that strategy, where there's a potency of God's strategy. He knows what he's doing. Who knew that by blowing a ram's horn and by breaking clay jars and exposing the light, all of a sudden the camp would be fearful? So now it seemed by God's strategy that when they exposed the light that was covered by the clay jars, it seemed as if their army was bigger, causing those other army to fall into confusion. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, I implore you that when the Lord wakes you up or stirs something within your heart, don't pass it off for last night's pizza. It's the pizza that I ate, it's my stomach. No. Because you see, God is an engineer, engineering things to your advantage and for his glory. He did this with the children of Israel, and he will do it with you so that his purpose may be accomplished in your life. Even if it sounds crazy and irrational, you got to do it. And I'm just sensing as we begin to, what was that fourth song that we sang? Lamb, okay. We're going to sing that as we finish. So let's just give it everything we have as we finish. But what I would like at the same time that we're singing is that there's some of you here that perhaps you've never ever spoken, been baptized in the Spirit, and you would like to experience that. The Lord is here. But also, if you get dreams at night, you get dreams and you just don't know, I get all these crazy dreams and I don't know. We're going to pray for you so that God would give you an understanding that you're able to interpret your own dreams. And so those things, and if you want more of the Holy Spirit in your life, just a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be here to pray. Our team is going to be here to pray with you. And so as we sing, if you have to go, don't open the back doors yet. If you have to go, by all means, go. And go with, we love you. Go well, and we'll see you next week. But we're going to sing. But if you need prayer, please come. And we'll pray for you. Specifically, if you get dreams and you wonder, oh, that's a bit strange, I want you to come, and we're going to pray, you know, that God will bring some clarity around that gifting. Thank you. Well, let's sing.
drop us on purpose.